the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. My woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Cause you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women moan, boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway night, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land.
and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
game is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office, and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Everybody, so Shazizz here. You're listening to Shazizz Mad Science over here on ShazizzRadio.com and AwakeRadio.org and UK, and they're all over the place. Awake Radio, pretty nice folks over there. Anyway, we've got multiple other networks out there as well. Every once in a while I like to watch some apocalyptic style movies like Deep Impact or Super Volcano and stuff like that. Just kind of see how people react in those kind of situations and survive and such. Right now, in this world, there's all kinds of madness going on, all kinds of crazy stuff. saw a little posting over there about there's a 40 volcano supposedly going off here in the world. Only six of them are in the Ring of Fire. That's quite a bit of stuff happening there on the volcano side of the world there. Of course, you know, when volcanoes, anytime you got volcanic eruptions, and you're going to have some seismic activity as well. Also, there's a guy out there, it goes by Grindall61, he did a video, this is what California drought charade really looks like. And, you know, there's supposedly this terrible drought going on in California, and he's over there showing the rainwater that is deep enough where somebody has to slow down before they go through the intersection in order to not stall their car out from the water. And, of course, we all know about how I feel about the whole global warming scenario / climate change / climate disruption, so on and so forth. But either way, what does this have to do with alternative and free energy? I think it pretty much has everything to do with it. You know, there's a lot of wars out there going on over resources. A lot of people are worried about radioactive material and nuclear power plants falling apart, such as Fukushima and all this kind of stuff there. So I have to sit back and I have to ask the question. If the world is in such great peril from nuclear disaster, now we know about the oil spill, BP dumped all that Corexit down in there, which it's blatantly obvious can't be good for the environment. Anytime you put something into nature that ain't supposed to be there, then you're going to have some short-term problems. Potentially even long-term problems, depending on how bad it is. I think the Corexit was probably the stupidest thing that they ever did. But don't be fooled. Nature is in charge. Nature is a whole lot tougher than man. It's blatantly obvious. If you make Mother Nature mad, then you're going to find out the hard way that nature knows how to fight back. And the majority of what we're seeing going on around in this world is pretty much natural. Natural coming from solar activity, natural coming from lunar activity, and natural coming from the Earth itself. So there's quite a bit of stuff going on. We live in an ever-changing world. But keep in mind, this Earth is an electromagnetic generator of epic proportions. It is a self-contained biosphere that is, it cleans itself up. It rearranges. And if you could learn how to work in harmony with that system, there is more than enough energy, potential energy, from everything from sunlight to wind to the vibration of the Earth itself, the frequency ranges from space, to power every single device in the energy hog world. And literally work in perfect harmony with nature without polluting anything. Now, there's a video out there called Nuclear Scare Scam. I suggest that if you haven't never seen that, you go out there and watch that video. And to put it in short, essentially what it talks about is that nuclear waste and all that nuclear energy isn't nearly as dangerous as they would like you to believe, because it's a power thing, you know. You don't want people knowing that you can go in and pick up the doggone fuel for an atomic bomb or something like that and not die trying to get it. So for financial reasons and for security reasons, it's been pretty much implanted in everybody's brain how dangerous this stuff is. Okay, let's say hypothetically it really is that dangerous. Either way, we know that when radioactive material decays, it releases energy, and that energy is in a form, waveform, just like all other energies of the world. So instead of boiling water with it and running the risk of an explosion, you could just tap in and build a tuner for said frequency to, capture that energy and store it, whether it be capacitor banks or storage. Either way, back to the question. A question is this. If we're in such dire straits, such as the planet's heating up and we're all going to die, and everybody who knows me knows that I'm not in by far any kind of doomsdayer. The whole so-called global warming, we're all going to fry because of the planet. Planet's heating up due to CO2, which makes me laugh. If we're in such dire straits, why can't this planet get their act together? Why can't the governments of this world get their act together? Why can't they pick the brains of every single brilliant individual out there on this planet to literally be able to tap into what nature has already provided? Free energy has already been proven to me. There's nobody in this entire world who could prove to me that electricity is not free. Now, financially wise is what you pay out there to your light bill and so on and so forth. That's not free. You're buying it from somebody, but you're buying it from somebody under the guise that you can't do it yourself. I call my radio show and my YouTube channel Mad Science because it makes me mad. Science makes me mad. Here we are in the year 2015, we're on the verge of World War III, we got all these apocalyptic things going on around the world, floods and storms and earthquakes and so on and so forth. And I think about your average Joe out there just trying to get along, man. And if the power grid ever goes down, how ignorant that some folks would act and how lost that other ones would be. It's simple to build a generator. It's a little more technical to build a generator that'll run an entire house. And not everybody out there has the finances in order to do so. So pretty much the average Joe would be at the mercy of whoever had a generator. Solar technology's been around for quite some time, and by now we should have a solar panel in every single yard. Because at least for half of the day you've got on-demand power. And for the other half of the day you would run on battery backups. So once the equipment was in place, energy would be free, literally. There's enough nuclear waste out there in this world to run every single light bulb and every single electric motor and freezer and television and electric appliance on this planet for probably the next million years. And yet we don't tap into that potential energy. We bury it under the ground when we're done using it. It came from the earth. Now it's going back. When it ain't hot enough to boil water, it's discarded. So essentially, they're using something like really hot radioactive rods to heat up water, to turn into steam, to turn turbines. So they ain't doing nothing that they weren't doing back in the 1800s. They're boiling water to make steam to turn turbines. Steam engine. Now the government has all kinds of nifty gizmos up there, all kinds of fancy black ops airplanes and who knows what else. And yet, we still have an energy crisis. I don't think we have an energy crisis, and I never did think we had an energy crisis, because anybody with common sense and stepping back and looking at the big picture could understand what's really going on. They said we're going to run out of crude oil. So what? I wish we'd run out of it today. I wish the last drop of crude oil would be used today. And then everybody would have to be forced to do something different. Guaranteed that the guys out there with the power companies already know what to do different. And so if the last bit of coal and the last bit of crude oil kind of dissipates, you're still going to have electricity. It'll make you wait a few minutes, try to shake you up a bit. You'll still have electricity. And you'll still be paying a bill. The system out there, they didn't get where they're at. They didn't get the power structure that they got by being stupid. They know how to manipulate you. They know how to pull your heartstrings. They know how to make you mad and keep you frustrated. And they know how to keep you paying. So I put this platform together here over on ShazizRadio.com in hopes that I could draw people in there, you know, build it and they will come. In hopes that I could get people, brilliant minds from all over the planet coming around, just we the people, not some companies or corporations or somebody out there looking to get to be filthy, stinking rich. Just the average Joes working together, using everything that they've learned about electricity and so on and so forth throughout their entire life and whatever. Bring these brilliant minds to the table and let's just get it done. Study just about every energy, free energy device under the sun. And I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that electricity is free. Somewhere on this planet, every single day, for 7 days a week, 365 days a year, there is a lightning bolt hitting somewhere on this planet. All day long, every day, without fail. There's static energy in the air, there's static energy in the ground. So the cheapest and easiest way that I've figured out that you could actually build any type of alternative or free energy device is to tap into what's most prevalent, you know. It's the easiest, the simplest, and the cheapest. It's not the only. I mean, because there are tons and tons of radio waves out there. There's power from the wind, there's power from the earth, there's power from the water, there's power from the sun. Many ways to tap into all of that. And not even remotely harm nature. To work in harmony with nature, such as as simple as when you ride your canoe down the river. You're not doing nothing while you're riding that canoe. Except for, you're not changing the power of the river. You're not adding to, nor are you taking away. You're just letting nature do a little bit of work while nature does what nature does. You put a windmill up in the air and you got your windmill going on, you're not doing nothing. You're just letting nature do what nature does and getting a little bit of work done in the process. And if you could understand something as simple as how static energy works, then you could literally create a free energy device. I posted a little video in there on the ShazizRadio.com and over on AwakeRadio.com. Just a little sample video. It's electrostatic pendulum. And you can actually see, the motion of opposites attract and positives repel. And you can see that you can actually get work done with static energy. And I believe that this concept could be expanded on to the extreme to where you could literally build a self-powered generator. If you think about the Wimshurst design or the Van de Graaff or any of the static motors out there, you could start to see what it is that I'm trying to say. Now, I did a video called 1.5 volt Tesla coil. And I tried running the Tesla coils with just about every range that I could figure out. I ran them with static electricity. I ran them with a Slayer exciter. I ran them with high voltage igniters. I ran them with flyback transformers. And the only difference in all the different energies is the energy wave, the actual frequency of the wave itself. That's it. There's no difference. Static energy will light up a fluorescent light bulb just the same as a Slayer exciter, as RF frequencies. All it is a high frequency wave that is literally energizing the gas inside the bulb and causing it to light up. Other frequencies have the capability to vibrate a tungsten element fast enough to literally create heat, which in turn creates light. Light is heat and heat is light, vice versa. So if you know the basic science of electricity and the world itself, you can literally tap into whatever nature's doing at any given time. If the world is in such dire straits and we are on a ticking clock, if doomsday is around the corner, one thing that stood common in every single apocalyptic video that I've ever watched is the government secretly go around and they pick out people who they want to survive the coming doom. And they literally lie to people and they don't tell nobody that anything is going on. And then people are caught by surprise when the doomsday scenario, such as a 1,000-foot wave, sweeps over the land or something. So for continuity of government and these people's dreams of a new world without all of us, that would be their best case deal. Heck, you don't have to kill nobody. Let the nature, the whatever, let it do it. So, in all these videos, the government always has the government's doggone interest, the best interest at heart. Doesn't try to figure out a way to save everyone on the planet. Just tries to figure out a way to save a few. If you know that the world's coming to an end and you're part of the government, I guess you say something like this. You justify your actions by saying something like, "Well, you know, if we tell them that doomsday's around the corner, they're all panic, and then everything will go crazy and whatever." Let's just let them live in peace until they all croak. That's ridiculous, man. It's ridiculous that we still build houses that are torn down by tornadoes. It's ridiculous that we can't build a house that would not be destroyed by a flood. It's ridiculous that people die in earthquakes. It's ridiculous that here we are in the year 2015 and we're still hearing crazy stuff such as we can't solve the so-called energy crisis. It's crazy. It's flat out crazy. Because we have every single piece of the puzzle, everything we need to literally build a device that will power people's homes. We have it. We have it all, and we've had it all for quite some time. The things that they were doing back in the 1800s and some even further back than that, all the way through the 1900s and the year 2000 to the present. It's technologies out there and brilliant minds all over the planet. But this is the key, people. You keep waiting around for the government to do it. The government ain't going to do it. And the corporations aren't going to do it. The corporations out there, the power companies and the fuel industries, the coal industries, all of them, they've got what they need. They don't need your ideas. They don't need for you to be energy independent. What they need for you is to be dependent. Right now I hear a military helicopter going over my roof. Probably a bunch of them. Thousands of dollars into the war machine. They're doing a bunch of drills out there, you know. The whole Jade Helm thing's supposed to be coming up soon. Military working in conjunction with the law enforcement. We're going to do all this stuff right here. Whatever. But they got their plan. But the average Joe doesn't have their plan. The average we, the people's waiting around to see what the government gonna do. And if life imitates art, go out and rent you a couple videos, 3-4 videos, apocalyptic videos, and mark down what you see that is standard in every single video. Something that each one of these videos have in common. And I guarantee you that one of the most notable commonalities of every single doomsday video is the government knows something and they don't tell the people. They don't tell the people because they don't want the people to panic, or there's not enough room on the ark to save each and every person. Somebody put the Georgia Guidestones up there with a smaller number than the actual population on the earth. So in their mind, they think it would be okay to get rid of a bunch of us. In my mind, as crazy as I am, the mad science guy that I am, I'm telling you and everybody else on this world, and I'll argue till I'm blue in the face, that we could support 10 times the population of humans on this planet and still live in perfect harmony with nature and still have everything that we needed, all the fresh water, all the fresh food, and all the resources that we needed to literally live in harmony here on this earth. Those of you out there who think this world's overpopulated, shame on you. Shame on you for being stupid. Shame on you for being hateful and indoctrinated. The creator of this world wasn't stupid. Created this world, built this world to be a self-contained biosphere of epic proportions. And if time ever came about that we were overpopulated, nature would kick in and balance itself out just like nature always does. So if you're one of those depopulate the planet world people, whether it be through vaccines or whatever, shame on you. If you're one of those people out there preaching global warming / climate change, shame on you. If you don't understand by now that nature's in charge, then you ain't never going to get it. You can't outdo nature. There is no chemical that we have ever created together as man that has not been here before we got here. Every bit of elements that you put into any chemistry set came from the earth. And every bit of those elements, once you mix them up to create your new so-called invention, your indestructible material, nature will tear apart. When you're done using it, nature will deteriorate it. Nature will balance itself back out. Now, if in the meantime that requires you croaking off because you just can't clean house with these critters in the way that keep making a mess of it, then you do what you do. It's just common sense, folks. If we want free energy for the world, if we want everyone out there to have their own electricity without having to pay the bill, it's going to take everybody out here to pitch in together. When the power grid, when or if the power grid goes down, I'm going to have lights in my house. I'm going to have a refrigerator in my house. I'm still going to have electricity even after the power grid goes down. Will I have as much power accessible that I do now being tapped into the grid? Probably not. It will probably be a duct taped baling wire / electrical tape and all kinds of scraps of whatever I can do to produce enough energy to at least maintain some sort of normality that I've been accustomed to. But if we was to work together, we could literally build the generators and the systems that would do exactly what they're doing now. Each one of those lines up there are 7,000 volts. Depending on how many phases of electricity you have to have for your shop or your house, one single phase, two dual phase, or triple phase, or whatever, will determine how many lines you're going to need come running up in there. There's all kinds of potential. If you're waiting around for a corporation or the government to figure it out, it's not going to happen. If you're waiting around for all the people in the alternative energy group to get their act together, it's not going to happen. You got some brilliant minds out there. Some really super brilliant minds. Some wonderful individuals that have some skill sets and some building. But they're all stuck in their own world. They're either limited by resources, or they're limited by ego, or they're just in their own world. So the best thing that you can do when you're looking for alternative energy solutions is go out there and gather up ideas and figure out what works best for you as an individual. You know that you can store power in capacitors. You know how static electricity works. You know how you can get copper wire and magnets and create a generator. You know that permanent magnet motors are pretty much already a generator. You know that you can turn an AC motor into a generator. You know that you can build wind turbines. You know that you can build water wheels. You know that you can use everything that nature has already provided. So at this point in the game, you're better off than the average Joe out there because you paid attention to all these different mad science shows and YouTube videos. So you know that there are options out there. You know how to make a chemical battery. You know how to make graphite and graphene. You know how to do a lot more than majority of the people out there in this world, because you've listened to these shows and you've watched other people's YouTube videos. So right now you have the knowledge in your head for free energy. Now the question is, can you get together with folks in... Can you get together with folks in your own general vicinity, your own townships, your own countries, and get together and take all these ideas and put them together and build a power supply system before any potential apocalypse? See, if you take... I'm echoing. If you take...
Let me see if I can start. Try now.
Testing. One, two. I'm echoing. Let me try to turn something down. Alright, look. Okay. Mighty, you got a knack for like blowing right in the door. Pow! I'm here. Are you still there? He went silent on me. Anyway, we're live, by the way.
I bet that cured it.
Yeah, it sounds good.
Good.
Anyway, like I was saying, find some folks in your local neighborhood that are good with electronics, that are good with tools, and build groups. Everyone, go out there and build you a group in your local neighborhood and build you a generator with all the knowledge that you've acquired throughout all this time. That's how you're going to get it done. And if you're doing it in your neighborhood and we're doing it in our neighborhood, then sooner or later we can meet up in the middle and swap ideas and improve on both of our designs. There's no reason why we can't have electricity for everybody in every nation, in every town, in every household for free. The only reason would be that you decide to submit to the beast that is the system that is eating us all alive. And so with that said, Mighty, I'm going to take a quick music break and come back and we can work this situation out. What do you think?
Sounds like a wonderful thing. Steve's also available if we need him.
Cool.
Alrighty.
Alright guys, I'm going to throw on a couple of tunes and we'll be right back. Stay tuned, you're listening to Shaz's Mad Science.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn, and nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand in the street, singing songs and a carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our sides. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Into your life it will creep. It starts is afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop.
Can you hear me? Give my creation fly! trap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Yeah, give me the number for 911, too. Say, Zeet's put a message over there in the Wake Radio chat room. He's talking about compressed air from waterfalls. You know, that's brilliant because you're not only getting the falling of the water, the weight of the water falling down that you can access, but you're getting a static discharge that you can access as well. Plus, you can turn that fall into air pressure also. So there's all kinds of different ways that you can get potential energy out of the same exact source. Now, me and Muddy over the break was sitting there talking about, you know, wind turbines. Why couldn't you take a wind turbine and make it a combination water wheel slash wind turbine, you know? If it was a horizontal wind turbine and it had buckets on the side of it there that you basically, when it pouring down raining outside, would keep that thing a-turning.
Yeah, you just take it right off your gutters.
Yeah.
And then let it come down into your water barrels anyway.
Yeah, use it and then store it.
That's right.
You know, that's what I keep saying. There is no energy crisis out there. There's no resource problem out there. And I don't care. I don't care if it was my best friend or my mother. I would argue till I'm blue in the face that this world could sustain 10 times more of the population that it is right now and everybody be living happily ever after, with plenty of food and water and all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of land out there that doesn't even get seen. There's land out there never even been touched. And there's places out there that there's places in this world that build their homes on the water.
Yeah.
So it's not like we couldn't do it. You know, we got individuals out there that think we ought to depopulate the planet. We got to save the planet. Well, you know what? You need to save yourself from the planet. Because nature is in charge. And when nature gets rowdy, you pay the price. It's that simple. You ask anybody who's been in a 300-mile-an-hour wind that blew their house right off the foundation how happy that they were and how weak nature was. Nature always does what nature does. Nature's going to balance itself out. If it doesn't like what's going on, it'll clean the house. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, people don't realize. You can go outside, you got a 20-mile-an-hour wind. That's fine, you can walk by it. You know, you say, well, if that's 20-mile-an-hour wind's not powerful. You put a flat piece of plywood up to it and see if it doesn't yank it out of your hands or take you for a ride.
That's right.
The guy was roofing downtown Dallas. And
I was just getting ready to say that.
Yeah, man. And he put that thing above his head and the wind took it and his feet kind of drug right behind him and he went right off and he rode that sucker all the way down. Landed like about a quarter mile away on the freeway and then got hit by a truck.
Nice.
But he hung on to that bad boy. And that wind took him too. A quarter mile. Didn't take much. You know, he wasn't up too far. But it took him. So,
well,
yeah, it's there's a lot of power. You got every time you double the footprint, you get four times the power as well. Because you can't stop that much.
They're talking about the Trump power source in the chat room on there and talk about patented it and stuff like that. You know, people out there in the alternative energy community just need to not even consider getting patents. See, patents only going to give somebody a protection, you know, to keep you. Nobody can sell it until you get so many sold or so many years apply either way. But either way, it puts a third party in between you and the people and your product anyway. I don't need a patent. I don't need a copyright. I don't need to get rich off of any ideas that I got. All I need to do is take these ideas and ship them on out to everybody and his brother and let them do what they want. You know, the reason why we ain't got the things that we should have for every single individual out there on this planet was due to somebody wanting to make some money off it. Somebody wanted to be greedy. Somebody wanted all the coal for themselves. Somebody wanted all the oil for themselves. That's why they got oil millionaires and coal millionaires and water millionaires. Yeah, there are water millionaires, believe it or not.
Oh yeah, like Teaspoon Pickens.
Yeah. What in the heck just occurred? Oh, somebody must...
Richest man in Texas.
Yeah, somebody just put somebody else in there. Alright, cool. Anyway, the thing is, man...
What do you mean, somebody else?
What do you mean, somebody else?
Well, he's got that standard Skype picture on there. And so, you know, normally I know, like, I could see by their face, and I didn't see the name pop in there yet.
He says the halo fits him, so that's why he used it.
Well, yeah, I guess so. He, you know, he's, yeah, okay.
Simply Steve is no saint.
Well, then maybe you have to throw a combination of a horn on one side and a halo on the other. And then,
well,
a little
you
phrase,
were
I didn't do it.
She says, you were talking about Mother Nature earlier.
Yeah.
Ask anybody in the Philippines that was there in Tacloban in 2013 if Mother Nature is weak.
Yeah.
And if man has control of it. Because our friend, the professor of electronics, was in our home, waist-deep in water, on the second floor, while 175-mile-an-hour winds were ripping her roof off.
Yeah. And, you know, if that isn't potential free energy, I don't know what is. You know? It drives me nuts, Steve. I mean, there's just so much out there that you could literally tap into, from hydroelectrics to thermoelectrics, wind power, solar power, and the average Joe might be living next to any of these sources at any given time. If you're living next to the ocean, you've got free electricity. If you're living next to a river, you got free electricity. If you're living on a windy hill, you got free electricity. If you're standing next to a volcano, you got free energy. You can heat your water, boil it into steam, turn some turbines, and you've got free energy. There's lightning going off in somebody's backyard.
Have you seen the water turbines where they drop water from, if you've got water pouring over rocks, what they've been doing is they've been using maybe a 6 foot or roughly a 2 meter slide, and they've been putting turbines into the slide to use gravity to produce electricity. It's kind of very simple stuff.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
But I saw a wind-powered, water-powered turbine charging a just box-standard 12-volt car battery to power house electronics, just basic stuff, in Afghanistan. And it was made out of a bicycle wheel and bits of wood. I mean, it was pure redneck stuff, but it was kind of impressive. That even in the middle of nowhere, 7,500 feet above sea level, you've got a bunch of guys that want to watch the news, they want to power radios, they, you know, they want basic electrical lighting. So they grab hold of an old bicycle wheel, they put some fins on it so the wind will catch it. They also put a water turbine below the level of the stream that's basically coming out of the mountains. So every time during the winter, you know, all the snow builds up, and then during the spring it defrosts. You've got quite a lot of electricity there. And if the boys in Afghanistan can do it with a bicycle wheel and some old bits and pieces, you know, we should be able to do a lot better than that.
Well, that's what
it's
I'm
like,
saying.
Years ago, when like about the second year I was on YouTube, I got a personal mail from a kid down in South Africa, brought the first electricity to his neighborhood. That's about the time I was thinking about quitting. And he told me he went about 20 miles to the, he walked 20 miles to town to used the computer in the library to thank me for the videos. So that means he walked 20 miles one way and 20 miles back, and he sent me a picture of this wind turbine that he built out of a sealant band motor, and it had straight, flat pieces of board, and it was baling wired together. I didn't see very many, I only saw like two bolts in the whole thing. And it was the raggiest looking thing, but he said it balanced. And the wind went, and he had electricity, and they powered small things in his village, the first electricity the village had. And I was like, whoa. When I figured out, you know, 20 miles one way, 20 miles back, that's 40 miles. And I said, yeah, I'm staying with you two.
You know what that tells me, man? It tells me that the average Joe has the potential to beat the power company at their own game. They just don't do it, man. It's easy just to go and flip the light switch on. You know, it's if you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough for it. Nature has provided everything you need. And with all the people that you find out here on YouTube and all of your social media networks working in alternative energy, we got everything we've always needed. It's just a matter of doing it. If you need a standard device for everybody's house and you want to be able to build it, then do it. Doggone it, we got 3D printers these days. We never had that before. We know how to use lathes and all kinds of different milling machines. We could literally do this. One person by itself, you know, I can build a junk generator easy. That's no problem at all. Anytime you know anything about magnets and electrical wiring, you could build a generator out of junk.
But you ain't got to explain it that hard. You can explain it real easy. Make a magnet pass a coil of wire several times. That's it.
So, the more windings you got, the more power you end up with, and, you know, the more...
More coils, more magnets, more speed, more power. You have torque on it. Yeah, all of that.
Everybody's making it out to be harder than it is. You know, you can't. They're all looking for over unity. They're looking for the holy grail. They're looking for 0 point energy, getting out more than you're getting in, or whatever. We could take just the basic standards of what we've already got and get free energy. It's not a problem. You know, it's just how much you're willing to work for. How much are you willing to go out there and scrap through the junkyards to find some old electric motors and build a wind turbine, or to buy some solar panels and, you know, you got a windmill on one side of your yard, you got the solar panel on the other side of your yard, and down there by the creek you got a water wheel going on. You combine all these technologies and you got power at your house.
That's right.
But the...
Shaziz.
Yeah.
There's a 15-year-old boy... this is dated 2012 in Sierra Leone that basically built his own FM radio station out of scrap parts that he got out of the trash. Huh. So no training whatsoever. In fact, he was that good that MIT gave him a scholarship program.
That's cool. Yeah.
Now these are the people that, you know, make me feel humble. Because, you know, I've tried to do a lot of things, but some 15-year-old kid in Sierra Leone can turn around and build his community a radio station.
Yeah, but Steve, there is, once again, you got skill sets that kid don't even have. You got skill sets out there that other people don't have. It's a whole, every single person is like a gear in the machine. Without you, the machine don't work. Without me, the machine don't work. All of us together, we have a Swiss watch, so to speak. You know, and even if it is a Swiss watch, even if it's a made in Taiwan, cheap old dollar general store, freaking junky digital watch, at least we're better off than we are ourselves. Yeah.
His mixing desk is built into a cardboard box.
That's cool.
I mean, this guy is a redneck, you know, he's an honorary redneck. I mean, I think to a certain extent we should be, you know, giving him the certifications? You were giving people a master's in redneck a while back.
I can't remember. Give him the mad science degree there. Attend the University of Mad Science.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, perhaps we should try and contact a few of these people and just say thank you for their efforts.
Yeah. We print them out a mad science degree and send it to them.
That's right.
What do you think?
I mean, the young lad's name is Kevin Doe. Kelvin Doe. That's Kelvin D-O-E. But, I mean, he was basically given the Young Practitioners Program at MIT. They took him over and they basically gave him a lot more skills than he had before. But, you know, for me, that kind of gives me hope for the future. That no matter where you are or where you are, no matter how much people try and put you down or tell you that you can't achieve or you can't do this or you can't do that, there's always somebody somewhere that's going to work out how to do it.
Well, I'm going to put up here in the chat room a picture of the University of Mad Science degree that you can earn here on ShazizRadio.com. And it's simple as if you're on ShazizRadio.com/superchat.html, there's a button above the radio players that says attend the University of Mad Science. And so personally, I don't even care if you're a rebel and you cheat and you just copy this picture out of the chat room and just go ahead and put it on there and say you attended and call it a day. As long as you're thinking outside the box and going against the grain, that's fine with me.
As long as you're going against the grain, huh?
Yeah.
Shaziz, yeah. I put my degree of mad science certification into my CV.
Cool.
And people said, what's that? I said, that's thinking outside the box, Lance.
Yeah, and that's what we need, people thinking outside the box. I would have hired you. That would hold more clout for me as a business owner than a Harvard or Yale degree. If I said, well, wait a second, you got a University of Mad Science degree, you're hired.
Well, they said to me, how did you earn that degree? And I said, I learned how to grow food without sunlight.
Yep.
And then you get people's attention. And they said, well, what's that got to do with working in IT? And I said, well, critical thinking for a start.
Muddy typed in the chat room, I failed the first time.
Yeah, because it was worded wrong at first.
No, you just read it wrong.
Well, you got to make sure it can't be read wrong.
Hey, that's, you know, in every quiz,
technical writing.
You know, in every quiz there is a trick question, and if you're thinking outside the box, it don't matter. You'll figure it out.
Muddy trick answers too. You know, does expelled gas rise or fall? Yes. You better mark it right. Didn't have a comma in that bad boy in the right spot. So.
All right, well, you did get your diploma, right? So it all worked out.
Oh, yeah, I got my diploma.
It all worked out in the end.
I slid it off the corner of your desk when you were sitting there talking science to somebody else.
Yeah, Muddy, I got a degree. You can keep your diploma. I'm a degree holder.
Yeah.
I'm going for my master's, though, but before I do that, I have to come up with something seriously weird.
Yeah.
What's your degree in?
Mad science.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, Stephen Gibbons said that scrap of paper ain't worth a spit without a wet Shaziz signature. Sure, my digital signature's just as good as a pen. And, you know, hey, well, I guess I could just like start getting me a print out about a billion of those and just start sending them out to people.
Let's start with 20. It's cheaper.
Yeah. Either way, you know, if you go to your employer and you show them your Shaziz Mad Science degree and they don't think that's good enough because you got to have it notarized and a signature, send it on over. I'll fix it up for you.
Well, in fairness, the employment agency that I sent it to said, is this a valid university? I said, well, of course, but it's got one very interesting stipulation. The sort of things that we learn, you won't learn in university, not in a mainstream one.
That's right. We learn critical thinking outside the box and how to have other people thinking outside the box. You know, if you want to go with the flow, go to college.
You can go buy those books, but when you start going by real life, it's kind of like taxi. Driving a taxi, it's an education you can't get anywhere else. Reality is an education you can't get anywhere else. Think outside the box. The textbook's got a lot of right things about it, and it'll lead you in the right direction, but there's a lot of things like when he used to tell us the earth, what was down there so deep in the earth, nobody can't even drill that far. How do they know?
Well, I've had jobs before where people have asked me what my schooling was, and I told them, and they said, forget all that. That ain't how it's going to work here. You just listen to what we got to say, and you'll get along. So they told me essentially to take all the knowledge that I knew prior to getting the job and just throwing it away and learning again, anew, fresh.
Who would have thought that you could take, I didn't learn this stuff in school. I learned it off of stuff that was written way before I was born. Who would have thought that you could take just a flat metal disc, put a brush towards the middle and a brush towards the outside, stick a stationary magnet, ring magnet, about the same size as the disc, and spin that sucker and turn it into a generator. No coils, no nothing.
Yep.
And that if you put power to it, the sucker will spin.
That's brilliant, man.
Yeah, monopolar generator. Who'd have thought? You don't need wires. You don't need anything. You need two brushes and just take the electricity right out.
If you got a link to that, you should chuck that in somewhere.
No, I don't. I got pictures, and they won't drop in these chat boxes. I found that out on the first show I did with y'all. Man, I had a whole bunch of pictures all set up. Spent the night getting them together.
That's probably a good thing, considering the picture that I've got.
Either way,
I can imagine.
The three of us come from separate parts of the globe, you know. You're a little bit closer to me than Steve is, but yet, here we can sit here and we can agree on a whole lot of stuff. It's simple. We know what we need. We know how to get it. It's just a matter, you know, if the world wants free energy, the world's going to have to get up and take it. That's all there is to it. I mean...
Well, sure is.
Yeah.
Here's a question for you. Is it possible to create 5 volts WAB and 5 volts WAB, 5 watts from a bicycle?
If you took that bicycle and you hooked it to a treadmill motor and you wanted to sit on it and pedal it, you could get it. If you took that bicycle wheel and you hooked it up to a wind turbine and then hooked that to the little generator head, you could get it. It just depends.
And all you need is a computer fan, mount the sucker on your handlebars and set it, put it through a diode and set it to your phone. You're good to go.
There's a lot of folks out there that got doggone treadmills or stationary bikes, and if they're going to be on there pedaling anyway, why not charge some batteries up so you have some lights at night?
I was wrong there too. You got to take out all that other stupid circuitry that's there, because just take it up, take your power straight off the coils and through one diode.
Do you know there is a video, a book out there called Secrets of the Alternator. And an average car alternator, like an AC Delco alternator, has diodes in there, and there's also a voltage regulator, either external or internal, in that alternator that reduce the amount of energy coming out of that alternator. Because in the book, Secrets of the Alternator, they show you how to turn a doggone standard alternator, an AC Delco alternator, into 120 volts AC right out of the gate. All they did in this entire video was take the diodes out. That was it.
Three-phase AC.
There you go.
And three-phase AC, and that's a 90-amp, usually about a 90-amp bridge rectifier.
Yep.
Meaning each of those diodes are about 15 amps each.
Yeah. One of my buddies is part of a cycling club here in Asia, and he was asking me how he can build something to charge his iPhone while he's cycling. So it's not a stationary bicycle, it's part of a cycling club. But what they like to do for their own safety is to have their iPhone mounted on the front of the bicycle and film where they're going. Yeah. So when somebody hits them with a car, they can say, look, you know, we weren't cycling down the footpath, we weren't going down a one-way street the wrong way, these people, blah, blah, blah. But the problem is if you're hooked up to the internet, what they do is they live stream it as well. So people can actually follow the, I mean, it's all technology and the way things are going. And I do kind of, I try and stay away from filming in public, but at the same point, a lot of cyclists get killed all over the world all the time. And people need to be accountable for their actions. And if you're streaming that, and some car hits you while it's live streaming, and it's not your fault, then there's really no argument, is there?
No. And there's sample methods by which you can use that bicycle and the wind that you're creating, that you're going through while you're pumping that bicycle wherever you're going. You could use the wind to generate energy. You could use the doggone pedal to energize it. You could use a little solar panel on the back or front of the bike or both. And so you can charge it up real time as you're going down the road with such a small investment that it's not even remotely funny. These little, you can go buy them over here at the Everything a Dollar store for a dollar a piece, these little outside solar panel rechargeable lights. Now these doggone things, you would be surprised how much energy you can get out of one of those little cells by themselves. Now you take those same cells and run them in series, and you can build a bigger panel that will get out yet even more voltage. So it's only a matter of a really super small investment in order to build a generating system on your bicycle that would do exactly what you want and more. You might want to put a fan on your handlebar so that whenever you're cruising along, if it's hot outside, the fan's blowing in your face.
Sure it is. When I was building my veg box for germinating vegetables, I actually lined the inside of the box with basically daisy chained solar panels out of garden lights that cost me €1 each. And what that did is it reduced the power consumption from 60 watts down to nearly 45. So I was producing nearly 15 watts by re-harnessing energy from the P5 fluorescent strips in the blue spectrum that I was using to germinate vegetables, put back into the motorcycle battery that I was using to run it off-grid.
You know, they use these little jewel thieves to run LEDs. And I don't understand why it is that people just don't get it. Anything that could be made on a small scale could be scaled up. So you could take the jewel thief concept, which essentially, when you energize the first coil, then the LED is not on. The moment the magnetic flux goes through the second coil and energizes, when that magnetic flux collapses, it lights up the LED. So you're using the back EMF, the collapsing of the field, to literally get more energy out than you're actually needing for whatever.
Right. And to spike the voltage.
Yeah. And so the same thing could be done with anything. If you want to double up your AC current, why couldn't you do that same thing? Because the only difference is one coil is turned in this direction and the other coil is turned in the opposite direction. The other coil don't do nothing until the field goes out and collapses. When the field collapses, since the wire is in the opposite direction, it produces some energy out the other side. So you're getting the energy you put in, and then you're getting a little bit of extra on the backstroke of the collapsing of the field. It's that simple. So what do you do with
it? That's what Ismael Aviza was doing in the Philippines with his self-charging electric car.
Yeah. If the kid in the Philippines can do it, then why can't we do it?
See, one video guy had like 30-something fans all over his car, and DC motors, and he's driving it around like it was powering it. I kind of doubt it, because everything there had regular magnets, and I know they had iron cores. I was like, yeah, it's nice to make a video, but it was a pretty good video. Nice concept. It's what everybody's usually talking about, putting bands and, you know, deal is the bands create drag. And so,
I took a bicycle generator, and I mounted it to the roof of my van, and had a little turbine on there. I first tried it with a propeller, and then I tried it with one of the squirrel wheel style turbines. That thing was spinning so fast that I kept burning out light bulbs that I had to keep up in the getting a stronger light bulb to run it so it wouldn't burn it out. When you get to 55 miles an hour, that thing is a kicking right along, and it puts out a whole lot more juice than that light bulb can handle. And so if one of them can do it, you can imagine what would happen if you had multiples of them. You'd be able to hood scoop up on your car that is like aerodynamic. The air goes over the top of your hood and then over your windshield and then up through the turbine and then back down over the back of the car. You haven't done anything different. You haven't slowed the car down any. But you're using that energy to literally, you know, charge your batteries up in your car. If you're charging your battery, just like you did with the solar panel, Muddy, if you're charging your battery with the solar panel or wind turbines, then your alternator doesn't nearly have to kick on as much. It may never even kick on at all if it's not necessary to charge the battery up. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, that solar panel on top of my car gives me 1/3 more horsepower on a doggone it was a 6-cylinder, but it's more like a 5-cylinder. And I still get an increase in mileage and power with a solar panel up there, because that car alternator is only like 5% efficient. Who needs to put out 20 horsepower to get one? You know, we're 746 watts to go into the battery. You know, who needs to put 20 horsepower into that? Forget that. Solar panel's on, and I've got a charge controller to make sure it doesn't overcharge the battery. Shoot, that old starter. I mean, that battery doesn't even, or that alternator doesn't even come on till nighttime or something. Then everything works just like it normally does. It's automatic.
Well, now imagine if you decided you go tap into static energy, static electricity. Number one, you ain't got the back EMF problem that you'd normally be associated with your net standard current and all that. And right. So with that said, if you built a static generator into every single wheel of your car and you was rolling down the street, imagine four Wimshurst-style generators rolling down the street with a frame on there, and you're sending lightning bolts out the back of the car, you know, you're trailing a lightning bolt. You got a whole bunch of static discharge going on, and you could put that into a capacitor bank, which then in turn could bleed off into a battery bank.
Just fly kite and wait for nature and see how fast you can do the quarter mile.
Well, if you want your 1.21 gigawatts, put your lightning rod on top of your car.
Sure is.
Yeah.
Back in the early noughties, I put two little trailing metal, it was kind of copper in a plastic trim on the back of my car, because static electricity was interfering with the radio.
Yep.
So I basically earthed my car to get rid of the static electricity.
Well, you know that rubbing your feet...
That's kind of naive, really, isn't it?
You know that even if you got rubber sole shoes on and you rub your feet on the carpet, you build up a static charge. So now you can imagine you've got four rubber tires on your car, and it's going across there building up a charge. Now, I think the only thing that keeps you from getting crud shocked out of you when you're driving fast in your car is the fact that you're grounded between the earth, and you, if you maybe dangle a wire out, I ought to try that sometime, see if I dangle a wire out there and ground myself to the street if I get the crud shocked out of you.
Well, by the way, Zeet threw in a video down there, free light with a monopole magnet motor.
Cool.
So I didn't have to search for a link. You did it for me.
Yeah,
thank
I'd like
you
to check that out.
Yeah,
I like it simple. Yeah.
In 1989, myself and two of my friends thought it would be a really good idea to drive on to the top of what's called the North Downs in Kent. It's a ridge of hills that stretch from London to Canterbury. in the middle of a lightning storm, and the car got hit by lightning whilst three of us were sitting in it. Now that was seriously a brown trouser moment, believe me. But I think that the fact that we have rubber tyres on the car was the fact that I'm still here now. Now the moral of the story is, do not go to an elevated position in the middle of a lightning storm, and if you do, make sure it's a Ford Escort.
Yeah. If you're going to go there anyway, take this wire up the hill with you so that I can get some batteries charged up.
Believe me, we didn't need a wire. A steel framed car on the top of a dirty great big hill in an isolated area in the middle of a lightning storm is going to get hit.
Well, the doggone atmospheric group's pulling 2,000 volts out of the doggone air, man. And they've got a huge capacitor bank, and they're ending up with 9,000 volts at the other end. And then they're just, all they got is a couple poles up in the air, 200 feet, and basically wire going across the top, and they're picking up a static charge. People have been doing it by sending little quadcopters up with a wire and bringing down a static charge that they can use to run their little Atmo motors. So tell me that ain't free energy. I mean, what are you going to do, man?
I want to do that with a weather balloon.
Well, think about it, though. If you actually literally had a aluminum-style balloon, you could make one. I mean, it wouldn't be that hard to do. I mean, there's all kinds of different mylars, aluminum-coated mylars out there, and you could fill that thing up with helium.
They're like, what do you call it? They're like about a buck a piece at the dollar store. But you can get those, you can get a weather balloon for like $8, $7.50 or something. You can get that on eBay, and doggone, man, just run you a solar cell and get your hydrogen and fill that sucker.
Yeah.
If you fill it with hydrogen and you stick it up in the lightning storm, you get free fireworks too.
Yeah.
You think about how many liters of air or hydrogen is inside that sucker. Well, when it's like 8 foot round, you know. So yeah, you can pull a good size wire up there. One guy was doing it with a smaller wire, and he was trying to see if he can light an LED with his crystal radio. He was sitting back about 8 foot from his crystal radio, and that cheap speaker was kicking out without an amplifier, and you could hear it real well, and he had to talk loud over it. And when he put the diode to it, it blew it immediately. And also when he touched the wire, it was giving him some really heavy RF burns. So yeah, there's some power in that.
Buddy, you cracked me up, man.
I didn't do it.
I read your comment in the chat room about a PhD, post-hole digger.
Yeah, that's what my mama used to call
them. So folks out there who earned their PhD as a skill set in digging post.
Yeah, licensed to dig, to do post-hole digging.
Yeah, that's funny, man. No, seriously, though. The way that static energy works, and the way that all other energy, everything has waveforms to it, you know. And if you have a receiver, you can pick it up. I mean, the little radio you were talking about, the crystal radios, those have been around way back in the day. They were called foxhole radios back during World War II and stuff.
Right.
And they didn't have batteries. They just pretty much used the dirt and the energy that was being transmitted through the air to pick up a radio signal. And so, with that said, all you got to do is have the right receiver, and you can pick energy up from anything, you know? You just got to be tuned into whatever you want to. If you want to use AM radio signals or FM radio signals, it don't matter. It's there, you know?
There's a wide spectrum of it. If you're not using a coil and you're just using a wire, you're gonna get something. Because any length, kind of like when you're holding a when you're swinging a long jump rope. You can get it into one loop. You can make it into two loops by swinging it a little faster. You can make three loops, four loops, whatever. Those are harmonics of the long frequency.
Yep.
If you're kicking out, if you got about 120-foot wire that you shot an 8-ounce sinker over a bunch of trees with a slingshot or a bow and arrow or whatever, and then pull the wire up over the top of that thing, there are a lot of harmonic frequencies. I mean, all the way down to, 80 meters, 160 meters down below the AM broadcast band. And, I mean, those are some strong signals. Even a lot of earth propagation, ground propagation. So you take the other end of it and you bring it down the ground, tap it into a spike into the ground, you can get all sorts of frequencies. And it's all out there. You're living in the sea of it? Well, shoot. This I can say, if you're taking energy away, it's guaranteed not to hurt people. You're probably helping people.
Well, you know, I kept saying forever and a day, way back when we started doing the whole alternative energy thing, I kept saying every day, I said that you can get work alone. You can get work out of voltage alone. I said it, and I made a lot of people mad by saying that. But if you go over there and you look on that little cheapo little pendulum deal that this guy put on this YouTube video that I posted in the Shaziz Radio and the Wake Radio chat room, and you look at this little video that he did with this just a simple pendulum and a high voltage multiplier, and basically you see that when the thing energizes and the positive charge gets up, that the negative charge, it wants to attract it, and then when it's the positive charge move over to the ball, then it turns around and repels it, and so you're getting work done. You're moving that ball from point A to point B just with high voltage static discharge.
Put a magnet on it.
There's no reason why you can't expand on that. You know, the pop boat that we kept talking about way back in the day, we tried to do a doggone contest. I'm going to try to revive it again to see if, because I still believe in the deal. But that little boat could expand into a full-size boat that would literally be a solid-state boat motor with absolutely no moving parts. And there's multiple ways that you can heat that water up to get it to go. You could put a solar box on the back of the doggone deal and use the heat of the sun to literally push it, you know? And so there's no reason why none of this can be done, you know? And if you needed to be able to regulate the heat that the sun was actually producing inside that box, which was heating up the tube that was pushing you along in the water, then you put some vents on the thing. And it's as simple as opening the flaps and letting all the heat out, you know? It's that easy.
Yeah.
But this static deal right here, when it's moving that ball back and forth, that's physical work being done by voltage alone. You know, and that's what I wasn't trying to tell everybody that, you know, the math doesn't work. The math does work if you're going by the standard system. But I'm not talking about the standard system. I'm talking about an outside the box deal using something that is prevalent in the world is static energy. Everybody's experienced static energy. You can use it. Yeah, high voltage. The more high voltage, the better. You can take high voltage with very little current watts and amps on the input, create a high voltage charge. I mean, my 20,000 volt oil burner igniter's only using in the milliamps, and it's not very much at all. It's 12 volt, 20,000 volt oil burner igniter that is in the milliamps, and yet it is pushing out 20,000 volts of high voltage that I'm using to energize argon gas to the state of plasma, which is the fourth state of matter. And so, what could I do with that plasma? Could I get any physical work out of it? Sure I can, because in the center of that plasma, it's hotter than heck. And when you energize anything, heat causes things to expand and cold causes things to contract. So you can build up pressure inside that plasma reactor that you could in turn use to get work done. You could build up heat inside that plasma reactor that you could in turn get work done. And if you could use something as simple as a static motor, like a Wimshurst-style generator or Van de Graaff-style generator, and the concept of either one of them is so incredibly simple, it's just crazy. You got like a rubber band-style belt across a couple nylon pulleys and a little motor to turn that thing and some little combs on each end of it to pick up the charge and discharge it to the top load of the Van de Graaff generator.
Or a prop.
Yeah. You could use a prop. You could use a wind turbine. And, you know, you can build up a high-voltage static charge, energize your argon to the state of plasma, and then take that energy from that point on and do whatever you want with it. You know?
Have you ever tried one of them long wires up there and run it down to a little fine spark gap and run that through the primary of a Tesla coil?
I got a telephone pole that has nothing on it out there in my yard that I intend on doing something similar to that. I'm going to make a telescopic antenna style deal out of a different size of PVC plumbing. And it's going to be set up so that I can pretty much use a little electric motor to roll it up, extend it out like a, you know, retractable antenna on your car.
I tried that before with just an antenna, basically. Very, very flimsy. But there are, they do have them telescoping TV antenna towers.
Well, yeah, that would work.
Yep.
If I could, yeah.
Have you ever heard of Nathan Stubblefield?
Yep. Go ahead.
Now you know what to do. Well,
yeah, he was one of Tesla's, basically was Nikola Tesla's best friend.
A century ago, Nathan Stubblefield invented the precursor to a cell phone.
Right.
Using static electricity. Yeah. Even the British military were using it in Afghanistan. It wasn't very effective because you had to wind it out to get up to a certain elevation to get it to work. And if you're under fire, it's kind of impractical. And some people died because of that.
Well, computers work on ones and zeros. They recognize ones and zeros. All right. Well, radios recognize waves. They all recognize the lengths of a wave. And so your basic radio, when the wave is coming through the air and the receiver picks it up and amplifies it and then turns it into energy pulses that basically hit a diaphragm on either an old style speaker or a piezoelectric speaker, those dots and dashes are turned into audible sound again. So the same thing could be done with static electricity. You can try it. You get to a Van de Graaff generator or even just a static, like a little stove starter for your barbecue grill and sit there and click that next to your radio. As soon as you hear that spark jump across that gap, you'll hear a disturbance in your radio.
Yep. Well, the Stubblefield phone was first advertised in 1902.
Had a 10-foot loop.
1902, yeah. Man.
It was a 42-year-old Kentucky melon farmer.
Well, when it comes down to the apocalypse, you can at least send Morse code with whatever's remaining of the power grid. You can send information back and forth to each other.
Thing was, you had to install that 10-foot loop in the ground. That's a lot of digging.
Yeah, that's all right. Hey, a little bit of work, a little bit of free energy or communications.
Yep, and build that stubble battery too.
Besides that, during the apocalypse, you're gonna have plenty of time on your hands if the power grid's down, because you ain't gonna be able to watch Dancing with the Stars.
That stubble battery is what they used in that Stubblefield, Nathan Stubblefield battery is the Earth battery that they use for the Pony Express, but the telegraph system.
Speaking of batteries, and I need to jump over here to my doggone history on my YouTube so that I can get the name right on this deal right here, but somebody made me hit to a battery here recently that uses, I think it's manganese dioxide and aluminum. Let me see if I can find this doggone deal. But essentially, it's a simple battery that, from what I understand, they've had one working for like almost 100 years now. The doggone battery still works.
Let me see. You want some magnesium, she says?
Manganese dioxide, I think, is what it was. I'm positive, but I can't remember. But anyway, it's a really super simple battery. People have been making them out of aluminum foil, and you could actually use carbon. Some people's done them out of carbon paper. Some people's done them using paint-on graphene on paper. But it's like aluminum foil, a layer of aluminum foil, layer of graphene, and then a layer of aluminum foil, and so on. You just keep stacking them. The more you stack them, the more power you get. And the ones they said that for every layer you get, it brings it up a volt. And
right.
They had one that was essentially 1,000 volts, and they said you got to be careful with it.
Yeah, and you got to have paper between every two plates.
Well, these didn't have paper between every two plates. All they had was a layer of the magnesium dioxide. I think I'm sorry. It's called a dry pile. Doggone it.
Zamboni pile.
Yeah, Zamboni battery's another way for it. And there's a couple links out there. Just Google Zamboni battery. Zamboni battery. And you'll find a bunch of them. And some of them call them dry piles. But essentially...
That was Stephen Gibbon. He put a link down for it.
Yeah, he did. I think that's where I heard from it.
I thought it was a piece of paper with the... with the carbon stuff on it, and then the manganese dioxide, and then the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, Robert Murray Smith, he built a small version of one. There's a bunch of different YouTube guys out there who's done them, and
Shaziz, I've been listening to this and see if it sounds familiar. This is just a section from the article that I looked up. It's from Rents.com about Stubblefield. I do like to give people credit for the sources that I'm looking at. Electronic induction works this way. Current passing through a primary coil of wire establishes a magnetic field of about 15 square feet. When a secondary coil is placed within the magnetic field, the primary coil induces current into the secondary one, even though the two are not touching.
Right.
Yeah. From his reading, Stubblefield knew that the current could easily carry sound. He proved that one afternoon in 1892.
Inductive reactance.
1892. Wireless electricity transfer was proven in 1892.
Yep. This guy that did a reproduction of the Zamboni battery, he said in his description of his video, he said, "This is my own reproduction Zamboni device. I use manganese dioxide and zinc to make the battery. This is my first crude attempt. It has already been running for 6 months."
Yeah.
It's a battery. It's a easy, cheap, old, easy way to make a battery. Now, you know you can make a battery with two dissimilar metals. It doesn't even necessarily have to be two dissimilar metals. It just seems to be better if you use two dissimilar metals and something like lemon juice. Anything for an electrolyte inside the battery, you know.
Or a alum.
Yeah.
Heat metals. You can use, you can also use magnesium, and that's really easy to get.
Yeah.
Basically, two jars of water. You put the magnesium. You put the Epsom salt in one. It's magnesium something. Magnesium sulfate. What it does makes your sulfuric acid go to one jar. When you put an electrical charge across the two, you put one. You put one lead in one jar and one in the other jar. and a piece of paper towel across the tops of those two jars. All the magnesium will go over to the other electrode and collect it, and what'll be left in the other side is the sulfuric acid. So you can get that, and it'll be electroplated onto like your paper clip or whatever you want to use.
Or you could just like save yourself the time and hassle and go down to your local camping store and buy a block of it, because they actually have them in the camping stores for fire starters. In Walmart, you can buy magnesium. Little blocks of it. Comes with a little shaving device where you can shave off a little bit, and then a flint side on the other side where you can spark it and get it to light.
Ah. Yeah. The flint, huh? I didn't know that was magnesium.
Yeah, that's what it is.
So this, you can create a solar panel of titanium oxide and raspberry juice.
Yep.
Titanium dioxide off them powdered donuts.
Maybe.
Really? You can take all that white powder off your powdered donuts, those white powdered donuts. You take those and just kind of beat it off, scrape it all off, put it into a coffee filter, run the water through, and what's left in all the sugar dissolves and goes through, and what's left is pure titanium dioxide, and you can use that for your mini solar panels.
So you're telling me that in an electrical crisis, you go and find a cop?
Yeah. Oh. Like I'm looking for some powdered donuts, right?
Yeah.
Well, all you got to do is take the money that they ripped you off of as far as your pennies over here in the United States, which is a copper-coated zinc, and you have literally a doggone thermocouple right there that you can heat up and create a little bit of voltage. And so use a little bit of creativity and run a bunch of them in series and plug them into an old cruddy tire, you know, an old car tire. And when the car tire gets hot from the sun, you know that if you've ever sat down on a car tire in the back of a pickup truck in the middle of the summer, in the middle of the night, you'll burn your biscuits, because that tire will stay hot even after the sun goes down. It retains heat pretty well. What do you think?
Yeah, it does. Salt is a good storage for heat.
Yeah?
Salt, extreme salty water will hold a lot of heat.
So we know how to store heat. We know how to store electricity. We know how to store water, which water is potential energy of epic proportions, because everybody knows how powerful hydrogen and oxygen can be separated. We know how to do the electrolysis process by separating it, and thanks to Stan Myers, we know how to use radio signals to separate it as well. So we know how to separate water into two pretty flammable and explosive gases. We know how to store energy in capacitors enough that where you can take a 800 microfarad capacitor, charge it up, and blow your finger off your hand. We know how to do all this stuff. We know it. It's that simple. It's just whatever you're going to need in your general vicinity, you need to start working on it now. If the power grid ever goes down and you need some electricity, at the very least for lighting so you don't stub your toe on the coffee table in the middle of the night, you know, keep your batteries charged up for whatever purpose. And believe it or not, there are some heating elements all over that don't take very doggone much heat. And what's it going to do for you, you know? Well, think about this for a second. On your car, there's a little 12-volt heating element that basically melts the ice off of your rearview mirror on the outside of your car. What potential use could it be? Maybe something as simple as a little foot warmer, you know? Plugged into a battery. You stick your socks on it.
Shaziz, you were talking about Mylar earlier.
Yeah?
Most people who aren't in the horticultural industry, I'm not aware of the fact that Mylar is capable of hiding an infrared signature.
Right.
Because it was primarily a military application.
Well, I've got over there in my other building over there, I've got probably about anywhere from 6 to 10 huge rolls of Mylar.
Really?
There's varying levels of Mylar to this. I mean, there's military grade, there's horticultural grade, and then there's basic plastic wrapping.
Well, I'd say this has been around for quite some time. This has got a like aluminum coating to it, and it's been around. Yep. Yeah, it's been around for quite some time. So at the very least, you could make some pretty wicked capacitors out of it.
Well, the military grade Mylar is currently illegal in the United Kingdom because too many people have been using it to hide the infrared signature of horticultural lights for what we might call inappropriate horticulture.
Well, here's the thing, man. If they're all worried about people growing wacky tobacco out there, I mean, to each his own, man. If the apocalypse is impending doom coming out here, the last thing I'd be worried about was a hippie growing some wacky tobacco in his yard. I'd be worried about, let's solve this so-called global warming deal, you know? Let's solve the whole war issue, the starvation issue. Deal with the hippie and his wacky tobacco going down the road, man. You don't need to be hassling him right now. You see what I'm saying? Well,
yeah, it's easy to find the guy with it, too. I mean, it'll be the only somewhat subculture, sub-bohemian hippie you're wrong with that you'll smell.
Yeah.
And he'll trade, he'll smoke a little bit of it, get the munchies, and definitely trade you some for some food. So.
Essentially, what Buddy just said is follow the bone cloud to the hippie after the apocalypse and then deal with it.
Right.
Yeah, well, in the meantime, let's get on to something more important.
Because it's the chief of police in Amsterdam was asked a very specific question. Would you rather go to a call out at a coffee shop or a bar? And he said, a coffee shop. Because people that are paranoid and slightly kind of tired and lazy don't tend to put up much of a fight.
Yeah.
Now, in an apocalypse, do you want a stoner or do you want a guy that's been lashing into the pub's beer?
I think I'd rather stand around the stoner, man, because he's going to be like paranoid and kind of calm, you know. He's not going to like be all drunk and riled up, say, hey, it's apocalypse, let's go burn down some stuff, let's loot and pillage and riot.
Yeah. But the point being is, let's leave people do what they want to do if they're peaceful, leave them to it.
Yeah, and
you don't need to kick their houses in.
Yeah, and if there's a doggone apocalypse coming down the road, I'd say we got more bigger priorities than messing with the old hippie and his wacky tobacco. Let's solve the problems of the world and get it done, man. I'm sick of this.
Yeah, but the point being is the hippie knows how to grow things in artificial light.
Yeah, he does, and that's going to be beneficial. I'd like to have him, the hippie, on my team so that we can grow some tomatoes while the clouds are from all the 40 volcanoes that are supposedly erupting around the world are blocking out the sunlight. So, anyway, we're down to the wire. Going to run a hair over. You guys got something quick you want to say?
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
That was quick.
Buddy?
Yep, it looks like it's right on the wire there. I just say keep smiling, have a ball, and if you want to carve a prop, don't worry about the price of the wood. It ain't much. Don't worry about nicking it. Just do it. I got videos on it. Anything you can find in free energy and free electricity, just do it. You really can't go wrong.
That's the simple of it. It's just as simple as let's get together and just do it. If you can't get over to my house, then go over to Muddy's house. If you can't get over to Muddy's house, go over to somebody's house who's in alternative energy and build it. It's that simple. And
get you a speaker magnet and a disc, make you some electricity, power some LEDs.
If you can't remember how to do something, call us up on Skype and we'll walk you through step by step how to do it. Let's just do it and stop talking about the government's so corrupt. We already know all that. We know they're out there trying to fight the so-called war on drugs, messing with the old hippie and his wacky tobacco factory. And, you know, hey, if the planet's coming to an end, let the guy have his fun, man. Leave him alone. Meantime, as long as he ain't hurting nobody, you know, it ain't a problem. Meantime, we got to solve the so-called energy crisis and save the planet and the polar bears and all the fishes of the sea. Peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to Shaziz Mad Science. Thanks, Muddy and Steve. Appreciate it.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
21 gigawatts!